Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is Chat Missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
Welcome back to Inside College Basketball Now with John Rothstein. Pleased to be joined by Virginia head coach Ryan Odom. And Ryan, welcome. What's the vacation spot for the Odoms in 2026?
Man, I don't know. We're probably just going to go to Annapolis, I think. I think that's the spot we'll end up, you know, hitting this summer.
Okay. Well, Annapolis has been good to the Odom family, but so was Charlottesville last year. 30 wins, a 3 seed in year one as head coach of Virginia. But I'm curious, how has the offseason been different this year versus last year when you were putting together a whole roster?
Yeah, I mean, massively different. You know, we had to, like you said, put an entirely new roster together, get to know familiarize ourselves with the area here and just the university and the community, find a house, move, you know, all the things that you have to do when you transition. And fortunately this year, we were able to retain, you know, the players that are eligible to come back, all of them, and then also add some really key pieces, you know, to our team. So we're able to kind of really hit the ground running with our offseason workouts.
What's the biggest thing you know now about being Virginia's head coach that maybe you didn't know 12 months ago?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I'm not really sure. Sometimes when you take over a new job, you don't know what you don't know. I was familiar with a lot of the folks here, the people, which gave me a little bit of a head start. But everything, you know, changes over time. You know, it's different than when I was here in the late 80s. You know, it's been great to have people that care so much about the program, both former players, former coaches, you know, be involved, but then also witness the new guys, immerse themselves in all that Virginia has to offer them. And, you know, we had a great 9 months with these guys that just graduated. I mean, they were tremendous, you know, for helping us reestablish Virginia basketball.
What's the biggest difference between being the head coach of Virginia versus being the head coach at VCU or Utah State or UMBC?
I think just, you know, night in and night out, you know, when you're playing in the ACC, you know, it's just a little bit, the eyes are on you just a tad bit more. And that's not a knock on the other places. They're both obviously awesome in their own right. But, you know, when you're playing, you know, these games on national television every single night, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And we have a really tough schedule coming up this year.
No doubt about that. So you evaluate taking over a program as you've done before. And it's a lot of work, as you referenced, when you're putting together a brand new roster. So how did you put together a team from scratch and win 30 games in your first season?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a recipe for that. You know, there's not a manual to be able to do that. We were very fortunate, number one, that the collection of guys that we brought in here valued being a part of something bigger than themselves. They were really competitive with one another in the preseason and the summer, and then obviously the fall leading up to the first game. They had a willingness to take criticism and learn from their mistakes throughout the season and try to get better. And that's what happens. The teams that end up, you know, playing really well down the stretch or have great seasons, they're willing to be self-critical and try to improve every day. They never act like they have it figured out. And last year's team was a great example of that. And it's going to be tougher this year. We know that. You know, we're certainly not sneaking up on anybody or anything like that. We've got to make sure that we're putting in the proper work and quality work, but also improving, you know, off of last year and some of the mistakes that we made.
Ryan, when you look back on last year, are you grateful that you did win 30 games and get a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament? Or do you feel like something was left on the table because you lost to Tennessee and didn't advance to the second weekend?
Yeah, we definitely wanted the second weekend. There's no question about it. Our locker room at the end of the season was, you know, about as a dejected locker room as I've experienced. But at the same time, a very grateful locker room. You know, for the time that we were able to spend together. And so what those guys, that collection of players, you know, and coaches, you know, were able to accomplish during that season was really special. Not easy to win 30 games. And, you know, those guys were able to get that done. We know it's going to be harder this year. You know, there's no question about it. But every year takes a life of its own. And each group has a chance to do something special. And this particular team that's, you know, going to wear a UVA uniform this year, they're eager to get it done. And, you know, they're motivated by how it ended, not only in the Tennessee game, but also in the championship game.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
What are your thoughts on the roster you've put together for 26-27?
We're really excited about it. We feel like we've touched on the areas of concern that we needed, to focus on, to add to the roster that we already have and the returning guys. Each of the returning guys have gotten better in their own right. You start with the four guys that, played significant minutes. Chance has gotten much better. His body's in tip-top shape, ready to play bigger minutes, longer stretches. He knows he has to take a more leadership role. Sam has been lights out since he came back. And that happened for him at Toledo. His first year, he averaged 3 a game. Next year, he averaged 17. Doesn't have to have a similar ascension, but I know his game's way better than it was a year ago. Tess, same thing. He was a first teamer last year and he's not trying to be the player of the year necessarily. If it happens, it happens. He wants to advance in the NCAA tournament deeper than we did and be a major factor. And he's got to be a closer for us. Johan's added muscle and skill to his game. So we've got four, veteran, experienced, tested guys, that are ready to go and excited about, the possibilities. And then the guys that didn't play as much, Elijah, Martin, Silas, they've all improved. And I think most importantly, we're really excited about the guys that we added to the group as well.
Well, you return over 57% of your scoring from a team that won 30 games. So that's a big, big rarity in today's climate. You referenced Chance Mallory, who is going to step into a more advanced role this season. How much of a jump could he take now that he's going to have more expanded minutes and a bigger role?
Yeah, I mean, he could take a huge jump. I mean, Chance was a special freshman. And a lot of times he probably got overlooked nationally based on the depth of that freshman class last year. He had an awesome season, an awesome first year. He was big in big moments for us. He never played like a freshman. And I think the biggest thing he's tried to do this year is be very disciplined, with his body and make sure that he's lifting and taking care of his body because he knows it's going to be a hard year overall physically for him and mentally. And, but this is what he's wanted his whole life. He's wanted to be in this moment. And I'm really excited that he's taking advantage of it with the way that he's operating every day. He's really maturing, as a player, but also, a lot of times it happens when you mature as a person and he's definitely doing that.
Which newcomer makes the biggest impact for Virginia next season?
Man, they all in their own right, have shown that they're capable at this point. They're all, coming up from, lower levels, so to speak, but it played well at those levels. And we had quite a few guys last year that did the same thing with Malik and Jakari and Sam, obviously. And, so we're excited about those guys. Nolan certainly is an experienced player similar to a Tess or a Johan that's played at a high level overseas. And so we expect him to be ready. Kalu's played in big games and is a really good player. Christian Jan has really played well in the summer. We're confident in these guys.
Ryan, I know a big deal for you when you got the Virginia job was instituting a style of play that people were going to enjoy. Obviously, Tony Bennett had great success winning at the highest level, winning a national championship with a completely different style of play. But how much in Charlottesville the past year? Did people stop you and talk about the style of play?
I think generally speaking, you know, Virginia fans enjoy winning, you know, most importantly. And regardless of how it's done, I think that there's some similarities defensively once you get in the half court, you know, of just being stingy and stopping your man and you know, playing team defense. We did it differently. We protected the rim, you know, with our big guys. And clearly we need to improve on that side of the ball as well. But you know, I think we were 17th, you know, overall in defensive efficiency. That's hard to do. Offensively, I thought the guys did a really nice job last year of continuing to improve over the course of the season. And, you know, we're going to have to do that this year. The offensive rebounding always is key for us. But I do generally think, you know, the fans, you begin to see it, you know, when, you know, they're getting out of their seats when Jakari catches the ball, and it's before right. He catches, they could see it getting to him. And now all of a sudden, you know, they're up out of their seats because they're ready to see that three go in or a lob dunk to Ugo or whatever. You know, they enjoy that style, but they also enjoyed, you know, that stingy defense that Coach Bennett coached here for so long and his players and the success that they had. You know, they knew to stand up with 10 seconds to go, you know, when the other team had the ball. They were ready to get that stop, and they were cheering when they got the shot clock violation. So we'll try to get some more of those this year.
Well, and it's going to be showcased in what is a terrific non-conference schedule. You're at Maryland. You have Kentucky at home in the ACC-SEC Challenge. You're going to play UConn in Madison Square Garden, and you have two tough games in the battle for Atlantis. Is there anything else of note for Virginia's non-conference schedule in 26-27?
Yeah, we're still trying to schedule one more. It's not completely finished yet, but it would be with another P4 if it works out. And not really in our hands right now, but we're waiting to see if we can get that over the finish line.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to hearing what happens with that game. But beyond that game, and I know that Virginia is a great brand, won a national championship in the last decade, but how unique is it and how special is it for your program in year two to have Kentucky in a home game and have a game, you know, up the Acela in New York City against UConn, you know, 5 days before Christmas on the schedule?
Yeah, I mean, that's big time. I mean, it excites our guys. It excites our fan base. You know, when you coach at a place like Virginia and when you play at a place like Virginia, you want to play in big games and you want to be a part of the mix nationally. And, you know, certainly last year's team did their part in, you know, helping us kind of reestablish, you know, the brand nationally and, you know, put us in a much better position, you know, to where these kind of games can happen. And we appreciate those other coaches, obviously, agreeing to do it. You know, Coach Hurley up in the Garden will be, you know, a big-time game. Obviously, they're a great team, multiple national championships to be matched up with Kentucky, you know, a storied program. Coach Pope has done a great job there, and we know that'll be a tough game, but great for the fans. You know, we all kind of hate that we're playing these neutral games as much as we are nowadays, but we kind of have to. And, you know, those are certainly good, but we'd rather have them all, you know, on the home court where our fans can see it.
Well, Ryan, that brings me to another scheduling question, because as part of the buyout that you had when you were at VCU, it was required to play a return game when you took another job. We've seen in past instances that is maybe no longer the case. Is it still on track for Virginia to eventually one day return that game to VCU?
No, it's not a part of the contract. So okay. At this point, we're not required to go back, you know, to play them. You know, would we play them eventually? I'm sure we would. You know, they have a great program. You know, there's no question about it. My respect for Ed and Coach Martelli and what they've done, you know, has been awesome. To see them succeed last year was really gratifying for all of us over here that care so much about VCU. But in terms of having something, you know, next season, that's not in the cards.
So there is nothing that obligates you to go back and return a game, but you would be open to potentially scheduling them in the future?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. You got it.
We appreciate the bullet points there.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
You know, Ryan, it's interesting as we now move into a new era of basketball that's going to include a 76-team NCAA tournament. You start thinking, at least I do in the middle of July, about what the bid distribution could be. The ACC did nicely last year and got 8 teams into a 68-team tournament. Now that there's going to be 7 more at-large bids because the new Pac-12 is going to eat up, you know, one of those at-large bids, what do you think is an attainable number for the ACC moving forward in terms of the number of bids it's going to receive in a 76-team tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're looking at you know, half of the programs, maybe just a shy above that, a little bit above that, you know, realistically year in and year out. And then maybe you have, you know, a year like the SEC did, you know, 1 year where they got a ton in. And, right. And certainly that would be the goal for our conference. But that's easier said than done. These players are spread around the country now. A lot of programs are investing at a high level, you know, which means that the players are going to be spread around. But, you know, I think we're confident in our conference. We're confident in the leadership that we have. And we certainly want to build upon, you know, what happened last year. I think there's a motivation within our conference, the ADs, presidents, and then also obviously the coaches, you know, to reestablish, you know, ACC basketball as a premier basketball in the country.
We spoke last year during the season in one of these interviews, and you talked about how obviously the greatest win you had as a coach was beating Virginia at UMBC, and then your toughest loss might have been 2 days later against Kansas State because there was an opportunity to advance again and you didn't. I'm curious, after you lost a very, very close game against Duke for the ACC championship, is that loss now moving up the ladder because of how close you were to doing that in your first season?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, obviously it's the newness of it, you know, and you know, it was certainly tough, but, you know, that was a hard locker room after that one as well. You know, I'd have to turn the page, and we did have to turn the page right away because there were quite a few guys in within that locker room that never even played in the NCAA tournament or been a part of that.
Right.
And so, there was a lot of pressure in that Wright State game, and we were struggling, you know, in that first round game. And there was a lot of pressure prior to the game, but then also within the game and having to relax and figure that game out. They did a great job, Wright State did, of putting that game pressure on us. But really proud of the guys, you know, for getting over the hump. And then the Tennessee game, you know, it just didn't go our way. We took a lead right at the end and in the last couple of minutes and couldn't quite, you know, hold it and keep it there. But they had a great season as well. Tennessee, we know, they were an excellent team. But the Duke game, you know, again, we were right there, but we made too many mistakes from a rebounding perspective and too many defensive mistakes down the stretch, you know, to get it done. But Ugo had an amazing, you know, individual performance in that game, you know, which really propelled him to kind of where he's at right now.
Yeah, I know that – it's still early, and I know that, you know, there's still a lot of time left before we tip it off for good. But you do have, as we've talked about, a high percentage of returning scoring coming back. Because there's so much continuity within your program, have you guys had dialogue about winning an ACC championship next year?
I think that's every year. You know, our guys, you know, coming into the season, whether we were at VCU or Utah State, now at Virginia, we want to compete for championships. I mean, there's no question about it. And both within our own league, you know, against our peers, but then also nationally. And the way that you do that, you know, is by continuing to chip away and chop wood and stack days together, have gratitude for the place that you're at, and you know, be completely present and in the moment. And I think this group is doing that so far. They're getting to know one another. It's happened pretty quickly, you know, for all the new guys that have come in. There's some familiarity there. But, you know, I think it's something that we always talk about. You know, you look at all the banners that are in JPJ and in our practice facility, see the national championship trophy that's in our offices. And you know, I think every team that comes through here is going to have a desire, you know, to add to that legacy, because we're constantly talking about that. And so this year's team will be no different. We're not going to measure ourselves on, hey, we have to win 30 games like we did last year. It's more about, all right, the totality of the season and taking it as it comes. It may not look the same, you know, as it did last year. But ultimately, we want to be there in the end competing for those championships.
Well, let's wrap on this. What are the biggest keys to not just, again, having another great season at Virginia, but advancing a little bit further in March Madness in 2027?
Yeah, I mean, I think just cleaning up, you know, defensively and offensively, you know, just tightening things up a little bit. You know, what got us in you know, maybe the Duke game and potentially the Tennessee game, you know, there are quite a few plays that were made, you know, that we might have been able to eliminate. You know, a couple of possessions, the margins are so thin, you know, when you're playing at that highest level, things can happen. And you take one play off, and then all of a sudden that play comes back to bite you. You certainly have to make the open shots when they're there. You have to take them, you know, when they're there, and you have to go for it in these big moments. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure that goes into these games that, you know, the normal fan doesn't have any real feel for, you know, whether you're a player or a coach. Like, there's a lot of pressure on these kids each and every game. And how you handle that in the moment, you know, is everything. And so we're constantly, you know, talking to our guys and coaching them on, you know, how they respond to certain situations. And we just have to be a little bit more efficient on offense and defense and play winning basketball down the stretch.
Well, Ryan, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. Appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. And as always, look forward to staying connected. Enjoy Annapolis. Great in the summer, great in the fall. Can't say that about the winter, though.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks, man. You take care.
You got it. That's Virginia head coach Ryan Odom. I'm John Rothstein, and this is Inside College Basketball Now.
Paramount Podcasts.